This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this.
You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo.
And welcome back. I am your host, Dan Keller, and you are listening to The Daily Gurr on 100.3 FM, CKMS in Waterloo, Ontario, soundfm.ca on the web. Today is Thursday, March 26th, 2015. We are broadcasting from the center of the Haldimand Tract, the occupied Grand River Territory of the Haudenosaunee. And headline 5, blockade at University Admin Building to demilitarize McGill. A press release from early on March 24th explains that around 30 people blocked all entrances to the administration building at McGill University. Quote, as an act of resistance to McGill's unending history of participation in colonial and imperialist projects, it follows that we also oppose McGill's cooperation with the government in imposing austerity, which contributes to the militarization of the university while rendering the lives of students, workers, and others more precarious, unquote. The occupation lasted several hours, and most of the office workers took the disruption as an opportunity to take the entire day off from their jobs. The press release noted, quote, we're blockading James Admin to disrupt the regular operations of the management of the university. In particular, we seek to interrupt the work of the offices of the VP Research and the Office of Sponsored Research, which oversee the contracts through which McGill helps the military and defense contractors build drones and thermobaric bombs. The action also adds to the pressure felt by the administration. The more they use austerity to justify their collusion in colonization and imperialism, the more we will act to prevent the smooth functioning of this institution. Unquote. The press release concluded, quote, pour un printemps incroyable, demilitarize McGill. Unquote. In November 2014, the Student Society of McGill University adopted a motion which mandates the organization to support groups opposing military research. You are listening to The Daily Gurr. Today is March 26, 2015. My name is Dan Keller, and we are now moving into the feature portion of our broadcast. Today's feature is part of a chat from the March 6, 2015 edition of AWOL Radio with Rachel from Demilitarize McGill. She speaks of the group's many efforts in resisting the university's collaborations with the military-industrial complex, as well as some successes in revealing ethically questionable practices of some of the professors involved in weapons research through the school's access to information system. In November 2014, the Student Society of McGill University adopted a motion which mandates the organization to support groups opposing military research, namely, Demilitarize McGill.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. It's been a long winter, but spring is definitely coming, especially in Montreal. So it's very exciting times.
Mm-hmm. Spring in Montreal seems to be more exciting than spring here in Ontario. People, of course, will remember that Montreal was kind of shut down for like a year or so with protests, a little over that, as the students were fighting austerity in a broad austerity movement formed and has been and didn't stop, I guess.
No, it never really stopped, and in this year it's really turned into a much more broadly focused anti-austerity campaign. It's not so particular to a student issue, a tuition issue, but it's students and workers who are fed up with these cuts, who are feeling the impacts of the provincial government's cuts as well as more broader federal issues, and just aren't taking it. And it doesn't mean, you know, we need to wait for another particular agenda or cut to come through. We're just going to start taking to the streets, and folks have been organizing around anti-austerity because this is unbearable. The cuts are hurting people very directly. And particularly universities have been feeling it really hard. Laval, Concordia, especially. McGill, not as much, but they supported the provincial government's cuts, and they've been complaining a lot more than it's actually been hurting them. And they've been making cuts to individual programs. So while the school as a whole may not be hurting, definitely individual programs have been having to pull money out of places where, they then won't have any for the future. And so it is being felt across the board.
Well, I hope we can get into that a little bit more today, little bit after. The discussion on Demilitarized McGill, a group you're working with in Montreal. Maybe you could tell listeners a little bit about Demilitarized McGill and some of the recent actions you've been up to.
Yeah, so DMIL McGill has a focus of challenging the military research and research that supports military development that goes on at the university, because there's quite a lot of it. So there are departments that have obviously a lot of resources that can be useful towards the military and have been more than willing to take contracts from defense companies. So institutions at McGill, like the Shockwave Physics Group and Fluid Dynamics, among others, are developing things like thermobaric weapons technologies that support drone warfare. So these sorts of projects are things that DMIL McGill is set up to challenge from an anti-imperialist perspective. So the basis of a lot of our work is access to information, because the key thing is that this research is stuff that people aren't too keen to share, to make too public. So what we've done is request a lot of documents from McGill to expose what's actually going on in these labs, to get these contracts and see what the connections are.
Could you expand a little more on like when you're talking thermobaric weapons? Thermobaric, I don't know that term.
Yeah, so in those, they're a sort of doubly nasty weapon where there's a huge impact and shock, but if you are lucky or unlucky enough to survive that, the air inside your lungs will also be basically burned and exploded. And so you have a very, very unpleasant death if you are exposed to these things. And they've been sort of touted as a weapon to use against biological warfare, but it's really, they're just really, really nasty weapons. And I mean, anything that the military is using is going to be, as warfare goes now especially, killing a lot of civilians, and is going to be used in imperialist projects. So these particular research applications are things that are of use to the military, but the way that McGill and often the researchers frame it is, well, there are many applications for this research. It's not just for the military. It can be used for all kinds of civilian projects that are very helpful. But when the contract is with Lockheed Martin or Bombardier, those may be side effects. They may not at all. We know that those are defense contractors.
So is this they're working with like Canadian military, or is there like troops on campus working with these weapons?
No. So again, these aren't. It's not direct. In many cases, it's not direct weapons development, but it's testing strategies that can be employed to use the weapons. So developing various, be it fluids or other compounds that can go into these tools. And the contracts, in addition to being with defense companies, are with the or through the Department of National Defense.
And the companies that they're working with then, you mentioned Lockheed Martin, Bombardier. I mean, I know in town here we got like Raytheon and some of the other like missile component companies going on. What is the list of companies, or do we know the whole list of companies?
Those are two that have come up particularly so far. I mean, part of the problem is the access to information requests. We've only been able to get more of them starting a year ago because McGill was very reticent to make this information public, and they mounted a year-long legal challenge trying to keep it quiet. And many of the documents that we have received have been heavily redacted. and others are still in legal process. So just getting the information has been an uphill battle. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are more companies that we do end up finding contracts with. But when it's, you know, that sort of hidden under the surface, it's going to take a bunch of digging for sure. And that's something that, you know, is always on our radar, and we're always filing more requests.
Now, what have you released so far? You're talking a few weeks ago, there was, you know, some shenanigans with professors and private companies. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So McGill, you know, it is a public institution. It has a ethics policy, a research policy. And while that's obviously allowing a lot of this military research to go ahead, there are some levels of standards that they have in terms of developing technology that would be directly harmful to the public. So some of the professors at McGill have set up what appear to just be shell companies because they're at their home addresses. And now, whether they're actually testing explosives in their basements is something that, you know, we haven't been able to determine directly, but it would suggest from their applications that they are. So in this way, they're allowed to basically get around the McGill requirements and take these contracts with the DND to do testing that, you know, they're disputing that it's gone on at McGill, but they're saying that they did use the McGill facilities for at least some of it, and but it's a highly questionable practice.
That seems pretty ethically murky, let's say, on the part of these professors. That's really interesting. Just skirting transparency rules.
Yeah, and just to take more contracts that are wider in scope and without any of the ethical standards imposed by McGill, essentially. And I mean, that's also not to say that McGill has a stringent ethics policy. It's currently undergoing review, and that is something that we're concerned about. But the last time that happened, in a previous incarnation of Demilitarized McGill, challenged the review. Nothing really changed. McGill is basically supportive of this research, and in fighting our access to the information, we can tell that, you know, it's really not troubling them. They're not losing any sleep over this going on as part of their research conduct. And in fact, brings a lot of money in at a time when the province isn't, because, well, McGill supported the austerity cuts. So this is a big revenue source for sure.
It seems that the administrators are happy with these arrangements, but it seems like the province has kind of forced them into working with these companies. I don't know how much, but they already were, but now they're becoming dependent on the funds. Yeah, they must be making a lot of money from these contracts.
Yeah, and that's I mean, of course, again, McGill supported the provincial cuts, so had they fought it, you know, we could have maybe a little more sympathy for their position, but this is a strategy that they've been pursuing. And the contracts, you know, come into these particular labs, these particular programs, and it's really exacerbating that the situation for humanities and for other departments where the austerity cuts, you know, we wouldn't want them to be replaced by corporate funding, but there simply just isn't funding anymore than in a lot of other departments. So there are a lot of cuts being imposed and no recourse financially, and it's really creating a corporate environment on the campus.
Yeah, and the corporatization of the campuses seems to have been, you know, it's been coming for quite some time. I mean, most of my experience on campus is Laurier and UW, and TransCanada opened up like a pipeline research facility at UW last year. We are in studio today with Rachel, sharing her experiences of working with DMIL McGill. We're gonna continue that talk. So Demilitarized McGill has been working to expose some of what's going on at the university in terms of military ties and all that. What are you doing? Like, how are you doing it, I guess? The how.
Yes, I mean, a huge part of it is just finding this information, digging it up. So McGill has a system where you can file access to information requests to the university directly. So that's a huge part of how we're getting this information. So getting the contracts and the correspondence, you know, everything that tells us about what these projects are that professors are doing, So filing those and getting good at, you know, knowing what to request, knowing what kinds of words to use in the request to detail the information you want, something that, you know, is still being developed, but we've been able to get a lot of information that about this kind of military research, about research on, you know, on Twitter, on surveillance and stuff, and just trying to draw the connections between what the profs are doing and what's going on with the military companies and the potential applications of this research. So with that knowledge, then, we try to summarize it, to do a bunch of public education by both putting things on our website, by doing the Twitter and postering, and just going to the classes. This is a really big thing, is that a lot of the time, students of these profs don't even really know. Some of the, you know, obviously grad students are often involved directly in the research, but right. if someone's just taking, you know, a first or second year class, telling them what their profs are up to and telling other people in the department what's going on, telling people across the school is a really big part of it. So we do a lot of flyering, a lot of classroom flyering, a lot of talks on campus, because people really are concerned about this kind of work when they know what's going on.
And they're surprised for finding people don't know what's going on.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And again, this is because it's taken us so much work to get the requests out of McGill. Of course, people who haven't, you know, been fighting this for so long, you know, aren't gonna know, because it really is often dangerous work that's going on when you're dealing with things that are, you know, explosives on campus. So bringing forward those concerns, and then particularly the concerns of their application. But, you know, that's a big part of what we do. There's also a lot of direct action. You know, this is something that is really, really important. And it's important to have that mix of the education, of the getting the information, and then of actually slowing down where this work is happening, you know, where there are blockades, even where there's just stickering. And McGill really doesn't like stickering. So those strategies all combined form what we do, basically.
Those things seem like they're repeatable, like they could be done in other places. Do you know of other, like, are there other schools that have campaigns like Demilitarize McGill that are going on to expose this to the links to the military-industrial complex and war?
I mean, there are certainly student groups who are active in challenging, you know, war connections on campus, but I'm not aware of others that do this particular approach, getting the access to information. And if there are, it would be great to hear about them and, you know, give us a shout. But certainly the structure of being able to do ATIPs at McGill is a help to that. And whether that's the case in other provinces, I'm not sure. But certainly at a university like Waterloo, where there is a lot of military partnership through co-ops and research sponsorship, it would be, I think, a very repeatable kind of model. And even if there aren't the same structures for information on campus, there are, of course, federal ATIP requests that are very easy to do now. And that's something that we would love to see happen at other campuses.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to see what Laurier, what Waterloo has for their for an ATIP system. If any of the listeners out there know of their of like the process to do access to information requests at whatever school you may know that information for, share it with us. That'd be great, and we can tell more people, because access information is. I've always seen it as like something that takes a lot of time, that you get like huge stacks of information that you gotta leaf through, but you get some amazing things out of it, at least information wise. You gotta turn that information into action, of course, but I think we could do that here. I know there's people that work on like imaging systems for drones, and deployment systems for drones and drones themselves. At UW, I know there's and companies that came out of students that went to UW, Raytheon, of course. Those are large missiles that are being dropped on usually people of color, and there's students and profs that must be directly working with that here. Why else would Raytheon be beside the University of Waterloo? They're probably also getting tax breaks from the city. If we want to see a city that's actually anti-war against the kind of destruction that war brings, Maybe we should stop giving them tax breaks. But
yeah, and I mean, UW also has connections to the sort of narrative side of this that, well, at McGill, we've recently been finding out about this Prof. Derek Roots, and there's a little Prezi presentation on demilitarizedmcgill.com about this. It's, I think, just the second post down. Go take a look. But he's a prof who's been studying social media and responses. He talks about it as crisis response and disaster management and all these words that sound kind of positive but kind of vague. And when we got an access to information request on his work, it turns out it's with government anti-terrorism. Mm. So he's monitoring what, you know, refers to as radical threats and radical discourse on Twitter and trying to categorize that into, you know, who's saying what and how much of a threat it is and how we can neutralize those threats and what demographics. But, you know, there are people at UW doing that same kind of work who are very, very public about that, even those connections to CSIS and the RCMP. Mm-hmm. So that whole side of it is very important.
Anything else you want to mention about what DMIL is up to?
I'll just say again for DMIL, I mean, there will be, of course, lots more coming out from us over the next month. So just keep checking demilitarizedmcgill.com, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Great. Thanks, Rachel, for the discussion on DMIL McGill.
And that was part of the March 6th chat with Rachel from Demilitarized McGill on the group's effort in resisting the presence of the military-industrial complex on campus. This was the Daily Gur for March 26, 2015. We are on weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on 100.3 CKMS in Waterloo Region, soundfm.ca on the web. Check out all our past shows and other Grand River Media Collective work on our webpage, grandrivermc.ca. The Daily Gur is supported by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and CKMS. Stay tuned in for more Grand River Radical Radio after we close the podcast. Thanks for listening.